right?
Maybe no one wants to leave.
I'm just saying, it's a maximum of one. Okay, we continue the Rambam, Hilchos Malvav, Lovei Perek of Zayin Halacha Tes, chapter 27, law 9. We're talking about documents that have been erased, and there is concern for forgeries once the signatures are there, and they'll erase the content. So we have a number of examples in the next four or five halachas regarding this. Here you have an example where shtar haba hu ve'edav al hamechek, kosher. If you see a shtar where the content of the shtar, it's been erased and now the content's written on it, and also the signature of the witnesses has had an erasure on it, and now you have their signature. So you have a document that we see, it was everything was erased, and what you see in it now is the content of the shtar and the testimony of the witnesses. Rambam surprisingly says, kosher, it's kosher. Now, I know you right away think, what do you mean? Things could have been erased, after this and that. But you're going to see, Rambam methodically shows you why you're going to have to say it's kosher for two reasons. Number one, v'im tomar, person might say, well, wait a minute. Maybe what happened is, mochek, the person may have erased the body of the shtar. V'chozer u'mochek, and then he goes again and erases it another time, right? So it was written once, and it was, let's say it was written and erased. And written, it was written, erased, and now you have something on it, right? So it's written on an erasure. You have the signature of witnesses witness on the erasure. But what if after the witnesses signed it, we go erase it again and write another one? So and leave the original signatures. They signed that fact, and we're going to write a different fact with it. We got their signature on it. Why aren't we worried about it? No. Because we could see the difference. When we bring that star to Bezin, right away we know it's a problem. Why? Because you can't compare something that's erased twice on parchment to something that's erased once. Right? So therefore, under those circumstances, we would know there's a forgery there. In other words, the witnesses can sign a document where they see that the body is already written on an erasure, and they see that their signature is going to go on what's erased, and they have nothing to worry about once they sign it. Because what's the worst that's going to happen? They're going to erase the main document again? Well, that will look like a double erasure, and the Bezin will look at that. What's this? Is a double erasure with only one erasure there? So they're going to know it's a falsified thing. All right, Ve'im Tarmim, you're going to say, well, maybe this is another problem. What if you have a case where the signature of the Edim is, now this is the tricky part now, where the signature of the Edim could be erased a second time, but the text was only erased once, right? Maybe they're going to erase the signatures of the Edim. Let's say they've got it all, it's written on one erasure, right? And now maybe we're gonna, what's the case here? Maybe the witnesses, what if the witnesses wrote on a second erasure, but the text was only written once, and it's on one erasure. Maybe, and now what'll happen, if they'll erase it again, it'll be a second erasure. In other words, let's say a case where everything was erased once, and then by the witnesses it was erased a second time. So now we should have a problem. If they're going to sign on that, then the guy will go erase the main part, and then it's going to look the same with that. The answer is that's never going to happen either. We got to read it now. You're going to say, maybe the place where witnesses signed was already erased twice, but the text was only erased once. Once the shtar is written on that first erasure and the witnesses leave, we're going to erase the text. Write whatever you want. Because now it's going to be equal, the base and the witnesses. Because everything's erased two times. That's not going to be. Because why? Because the rabbis made a rule that'll avoid that could never happen. Because the rabbis made a decree, witnesses cannot testify on any, they can't sign on any erased document, unless it was erased before them and they write it as such. So even if it was erased before them the first time, they're not going to sign on it. You know why? Because they're going to see there's already a difference in what's going on over there. In other words, the witnesses have to have a certain degree of credibility when they're signing the document. And if they, for example, they see something's been erased, they're not going to sign it. They're only going to sign if they see it's erased in front of them. And if it's not, then they're going to not sign it at all. Let's say, for example, you've got an erasure there. So the wise guy, well, we're not going to sign this. We don't know what happened beforehand. So now, and what do you have? You've got the body is erased twice, and now it's written. Now their part's erased once. They're not going to sign that because they already see there's a difference between that. And therefore, the rabbis assume the witnesses are going to be learned enough to know they don't sign it. So therefore, that problem will never come into being. So therefore, a document where we see is similarly erased together. So that was the problem. If you see it, the document was erased. If it's erased twice on both sides, you couldn't tell. So that's the problem they were asking. Maybe the top part was erased twice. The witness's part was only erased once. And then the witness's part was done twice and the body was once. Maybe do it again. Witnesses aren't going to sign it. And therefore, it's never going to be a problem. The point the Rambam is saying is whenever you see a document that's equally erased from top to bottom, you don't have to worry no matter what. That's what they're saying. Either way, it's going to, because if it's going to be, was equal when they signed it, when it gets erased again, it's not equal. So we see the difference. It was unequal when they signed it. They won't sign it. So that'll never happen in that case. All right, let's try one more. Yud. Shtar haba. Now you have a shtar. Who? What?
Just one quick question. So are we saying the witnesses would sign if the erasures looked the same?
When they sign it, and everything looks the same, they're going to sign it. Because what could the falsifier do? What's he going to do? If he erases the body of the document, it looks different now than the signature.
But this and seems to say they're not allowed to sign it unless the erasure happens in front of them. But they could sign it as long as the erasure was twice on both.
If it looks equal, if everything is equal, then they could do that.
Right.
Okay, yud. Shtar haba hu ve'edav al hamechak. Now we're going to do a third point. Let's say the witnesses and the main body of the document is all erased the same, and the witnesses are allowed to sign on it. But remember, we talk about the kium. There's that validation part, the part where the Bezdin sticks on and we validate their signatures, and now we don't have to seek validation from that. So let's say the main body of the shtar was on an erasure, the witness's signature is on a similar erasure, but now we look at the validation that's below that, vakiyum milamata al haniyor, it's on a part that's not erased. So now, will we accept that non-erased validation part as part of the shtar? The answer is no. Ein mekaymin osomi eid akim. We will not, if we want to validate the signatures of witnesses, it will not come from that validation that is below, because there we should assume there's been some cheating over here. Elam eidim shomal. The only thing we could use is the witnesses on top, and they will now need a subsequent validation from somewhere else. In other words, we could say, okay, I got the shtar, I got the witnesses. That's okay. The validation I do not have. So now what do I got to do? I got to know, go now and validate the witnesses. Now, if there's been a forgery, it's going to be pretty hard to validate the witnesses. Now, what's the problem? Why do we not accept the validation that's below? Now, I don't know why the Rambam goes through such a difficult circumstance where we couldn't have had, where he couldn't have said it simpler. I don't know why. But let's say what the Rambam's saying is true, but it's a very more, convoluted case as opposed to simple case. Shema hakiyum hayarachum min hashtar. Maybe the validation could be, we don't know, because now we just see everything is straight. You see, body of the text, witnesses, validation. But could be before that all came to our sight, could be there was the text, the signature, and then the validation may have been lower with a space in between. And then, so could be, so maybe the validation was a distant from the document, harbe a lot. And what did they do to avoid that problem? They scribbled, right? So you could have a document with signatures and then scribbling and then the validation. Remember we said when a Bezdin validates on scribbling, it's okay. Okay, so now what could happen after that? So then, now that goes out now, right? Now, what can an unscrupulous person do? He can cut off the entire document that's on top, get rid of that part. Now he's going to take the scribble part, and what's going to the scribble part? He's going to erase all the scribble part, write a new document, and have new witnesses sign something that never ever happened. And now you got a validation underneath that is supposedly validating everything that's on top of that. That's what he's going to do. He's going to cut off the entire shtar. He's going to erase all the scribblings. And now he'll write a new shtar with witnesses on that. On top of that, and now that's erased. And that's the issue over there. I don't understand why you have to say all of this. Why didn't the Rambam say simple? You have a complete shtar, everything's there. It was done perfectly good, perfect. And we just erased the top part the way it is. What do you have to do with the scribble and everything? You could just say you scribbled, you erased everything and wrote things. I don't know why the Rambam didn't say such a simple case that would seem to get you out of that issue. It remains a question for me. Okay, let's continue. Halacha Yud Aleph now. Now we're going to have mixture situations here. 11 is, Yud Aleph is one way, and Yud Beis is the opposite way. Yud Aleph, Shtar HaBo'al Niyor, the main body of the document is on clear, unerased paper.
That's good.
The Eid of Alamechek, and the witnesses are already, witnesses on their part has already been erased beforehand. That's puzzle. Yeah. Why is it puzzle? Very simple. Because now what, now right now, the witnesses, well, they're looking at a shtar, that's fine, right? Shtar's fine, they've been erased, their part was erased. Well, what's the problem? Well, Shema, Yimchag Shtar, now that someone after they sign it will erase the body, and then the Yistavim will forge it, and now when another person comes later, what are we gonna see?
The
sequel. You see the witnesses and the bodies, good all one thing together, right? Now, however, now wait a minute, is there a way that with, now remember, you have to remember, parchment was expensive in those. Must have been, or these are really, why are they having these shilas? Just throw it out and get a clean one. Yeah. But everything was expensive. The parchment was expensive. Paper was expensive. Everything was expensive. So you don't want to throw it away if you didn't have to. So what do you do if you've got, let's say for whatever reason, they wrote the body and, you know, whatever, they get witnesses to sign it. Let's say they weren't kosher witnesses or whatever. We got to erase it. And now you want the witnesses to sign the erased part where they see the top's not good, it's clean, and they know they can't sign it. Is there a way we could save the paper? There is.
Erase the top and rewrite it all.
Nope. No. That's too much work.
That's a lot of work.
That's a lot of job, Paul. Let's do it simple. Vim kusla Adim, if the Adim write in the signature as they sign, we'll tell you where in a minute, if they write, Anachnu ha'edim chasalnu amamechek, we are now signing on a document that has already been erased. V'hashtar al haniyor. So we've signed our part on the erased part. The regular shtar has not been erased. And they sign that, then kosher. It's kosher. Why? Because if it's gonna now be erased, then we know they didn't sign on that. But now you're going to say, wait a minute, maybe they're going to erase what they wrote. Ah, but we have to see where do they write it. But Vikosin, where do they write that little statement? They write it bein aid la aid, between the two witnesses' signatures. Witness number one signs it. In between, they say, and we're signing a document that we're, our part was erased, their part wasn't. And then comes the next one. Now, one thing's for sure. If they would have signed it on the top, then maybe they could erase all that, right? Mm-hmm. If they sign it below, they could erase that too, right? And if you're going to see in between the witnesses, there's going to be a second erasure, that's going to look funny too. So therefore, that's the way they can do it if they attest to the fact that they are signing on an erased part of the doc, of the paper, then that's okay. Now, let's do the reverse now. Yud Beis. Shtar HaBoal HaMechek. Now the shtar was written on an erased part of paper. The Eidim al Niyor, and the witnesses are now on a clean part of paper. Okay, so now you figure, well, that one should, you think should be good.
No.
Because, why? Because the witnesses, what, let's say the witnesses would even write, we are signing and the top part was erased. Right? Let's say we're signing.
How many times though?
Oh.
How many
puzzle
times?
Puzzle is puzzle. Why? Even the witnesses write, Anachnu Eidim Chasalnu on a Niyor, we're writing on a paper, V'hashtar Alamechek, but the shtar was erased. Still won't happen, won't help. Why? The guy can erase the top part that's already been once erased, erase the second time.
Let's do it again.
Because of Malshin, it's written everything he wants. Now, he's going, well, can't we tell? No.
We can tell
because, him. No, wait. Since the entire top was erased twice, and Onirka, you can't tell when something's erased twice for something that wasn't erased. If there was one part that was erased once, another part was erased two times, we can tell, nothing to one you can tell, two to one you can tell, but two to nothing you can't tell, because how did the two doesn't look like two, it just looks like erased. So therefore that will not help. And therefore, and there's other things we have to, now a different item though, Another thing is you have to be careful to not write things in a way that it could be forged. Umitukun ashtaras, and it's very important when to make sure that the ashtaras come out right. Lisbonin, the bezdin has to reflect carefully bashtar. When he writes the shtar, he has to look very carefully at the following. Bevavin v'zainin, with vavs and zayins, shalom, that he has there, shalom yeh dechukim bein atevas. You don't want them squeezed in between the words. In other words, let's say the bezin's looking at the shtar, and everything, usually have a nice space between words, right? And now you got a zayin and a vav that are squeezed in between two words.
Forger.
Now we're concerned, Kashema Zief a Hosef, the word zoo. He may fortunately say the word zoo. Zoo means this, which is usually excludes things. And that, you know, like a lawyer lingo, like that's the kind of word that can say, you know, just this and nothing else kind of thing. So it's a kind of word you have to be very careful. Also, Veloya Murochakim. You have to make sure that they're not far away from each other, because Shema Mochak Os Achas Kigon Hey. Let's say there's a hey.
Oches.
Oches, or Oches. V'hiniach raglav achas. And he took off the leg, which is the mokum of vav, the place of the vav, v'chol k'yetzvah. In other words, you can erase a hey and a ches and leave with a vav. Vav means and. And could, you know, and, yeah, I'm selling you this, and that. Or something like that. So you have to be careful with that as well. V'chol k'yetzvah, v'dakim, v'chol loshim, v'chol sabi. Be careful every language and every text that they aren't those things that could be for cheating. Now, let's say you're writing a document, and you come to the last word on the line. You have certain words there that it's easy to just add on to it and create incredible forgeries. So, now, there's three numbers in which forgeries are very easy, from the numbers 3 in Hebrew to the number 10. Let's say the word shalosh. The word shalosh means 3. If you add a yud at a mem sofis, it turns into shalosh, and turns into 30, which can make a big difference.
Oh, yeah.
Arba, arbaim. Chamesh, chamishim, eser, esrim.
Right.
And now, achas, you can't do anything to that. And shalosh.
Aleph, alpine.
Okay, well, no. You can't do that
face
either. But though, from 3 to 10, it's an easy forgery. Just add a yud and a mem sofis, and you've multiplied it by 10.
Right, shalosh.
All right? So now, therefore, those words in particular, in kosim v'sof hashita, you don't write them as the last word on the line.
Whoa.
When you write them the last word on the line, shema yizayev, you can forge that. You just add a yud and a mem sofis. So you can't do that. So what do you do to get out? But remember, parchment paper costs a lot of money. And erasing takes a lot of time.
Oh boy.
So what do we do? So what you do is, I did not finish it. And the forgery is, v'yachzer ha-shalosh, you're going to turn the 3, l'shaloshim, into 30. V'esrim, the 10, l'esrim, into 20. So you gotta be careful not to do it. But what if, you know, you're writing, and you're not, and look, guess what? The last word on the line is shalosh. What do you want? That's the last word on the line. You can't leave it blank. So what do we do? In these domino besovshita, what if it happens that one of those numbers comes into the line? What do you do? It's maxer. You rewrite the shtar again. In which you summarize again. And you write a second time. Let's say you're gonna write shalosh. Alright? Now we're gonna paraphrase the text. We're gonna write another line or two. And make sure this time the word shalosh, and as we said, this is gonna be shalosh. Put shalosh now in the middle. So even if the guy is gonna forge the top one, we're gonna see in a minute we have a rule, the coming of the next halacha, that we always go by the number at the bottom, and not at the top. So therefore, even if they want to forge it, we have to keep rewriting it. Matzar divo bergufa shoshtar. Rewrite the main ideas. Just continue. Don't erase. Continue to write. Pa'amim ra, as often as you need, ad sheyavah, until you get the word shalosh to be in the middle of a line. And once in the middle of a line, we always go with that last statement, which you'll see in the next halacha why that is so.
Can I clarify?
Oh, sorry. So, you see the thing. So even if the guy would try to falsify the top shalosh, that's at the end of the line, shaloshim, because that's kind of odd. How come two lines later it says shalosh?
Right? That's at the end of a line, too.
And that one's at the end of a line, and this is at the bottom. This kind of would say, you know, and we'll see for other reasons, when the guy wants to collect, you're going to do the minimum amount. You're going to go, even if it's a suffix, we're not going to give a guy 30, we're going to give a guy 3, you know, suffix, motz, mechaver, v'l'varai.
That's right.
So therefore, it avoids any cheating from that thing.
So there's no problem with shmona, right? If you're, those numbers, shmona wouldn't present a problem.
I guess shmona would not, well, it could be. Well, shmona.
You got a hay there.
okay, but it,
because also the same thing. If you would, the masculine arba'a chamisha.
Shalosh arba.
Shlosha. He's saying that if
no,
you put shlosha.
Well, we don't write that. We don't write it. Shalosh.
Well, it depends.
No. You write shalosh arba chamesh shesh sheva will work.
Yeah, but shmona.
Shmona, unless can you shmona teisha works. Tishim. So shmona maybe not, yeah. Unless you do something with the hay there. Well, you could. You could just.
But also, the masculine wouldn't be. I'm saying.
We don't do. Usually, those when you do those numbers, it's done with the female numbers.
They also say that the numbers, you shouldn't make the numbers as letters. If you put a base for two, they could change it into a chaf, and it'll be
okay.
20.
That's
so
good.
Are we worried about someone adding paper to the side?
No,
of the
there's
thing?
A little margin.
Just sticks
so,
out a little.
So you can't do what I suggested before and just make a line to the end of the page.
Well, I guess you could.
The order.
Like on a check, where you don't allow any numbers additional to be written,
oh,
so you make a line.
Yes, you could, but what if he didn't?
No, it's just rewriting the whole.
So we just say, don't do that.
No, I know, but isn't it easier than writing?
Well, no, it won't help. Like, why will your idea not work, Paul? Well, it'd have to be very close to the line, because we could cut it off too.
Cut it off, or you can erase the line.
If you cut
it off,
then
erase
no,
the line. It's going to be an
okay,
erasure.
But if you cut it off, then there's no room to write something new.
Well, it's very hard to be so precise where the line goes exactly to that thing, you know. So this is a more surefire. Yeah, even when you make a line in the check, Paul, do you do it exactly where the let's say the word seven and right after the N, right after the N, Paul, like mamish touching the N, you make the line while the N. What if you leave just a little bit?
And you write the word only or something like that. So that
you do. You write that on your check,
but you don't usually write those things. You usually don't write those things.
I don't do it here.
So, but that's the
he's been on medication.
This is a solution that will for sure work. All right, Yudal. Now this
do
is an interesting halacha.
Could be
where we're going to see where you have. What if you have two different numbers through the shtar? The idea is like this: it starts off the shtar. It says, "I'm going to sell the field for $200 or $100." And then as we go through the middle of the shtar, then it says, "And that we're going to sell it to you for a different number." So the rule's going to be, we always go with the second number. Why do we go with the second number? The Rambam, the Sfar that say is like this, if you like it or not. Remember, not everybody does, in a perfect world, nobody writes anything till everything is decided and we know what we're doing. But the world is not perfect, right? So we say, okay, let's start writing the shtar. Okay, I'm going to sell you my my piece of property, Martin. Let's start writing. Ah, yes, Vasquez. The wizard, let's start writing. I'm going to sell to you this and this, this piece of property. I'm selling to you for $5,000.
Okay.
And we start writing more. And then I say, you know, come to think of it, Martin, I think it's worth a little more than $5,000.
Come on.
And as you're writing it, you know, it's like, you know, like trying to close a deal at 2 a.m. in the morning at a house.
I'm tired.
And the cipher's there and this, that. You know, I think really it's worth another $100, Martin. And therefore, I'm going to write it with all the accruements there. And therefore, we're going to say now, okay, if you're not going to give in, Martin, I'm just going to throw the document out.
And you're not going to buy.
I don't have any more paper. So I'm pressuring you to make, because as we come to the end of the document, we're coming more to this series of, oh, we start writing the document. I'll just write just to get you into the game, you know? Okay, you want $500, Martin? Fine, we're going to write $500. You know, now I'm halfway, almost ready, almost about two lines to go.
Two lines to go, and, yeah. And
I said, you know, Martin, I think it's worth $600.
Oh, we agreed on $500.
Well, you know, but now the more I'm writing about it, I'm feeling very emotional about it. And
emotional?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's been a hairy.
I can get your help
family
with
for years.
God, I can help you.
You
with
know,
that.
Forget it. If you're not, you know, I'm going to send the cipher home.
Send
the
them home?
Home. Yeah. Forget yeah. it. Forget if you're not going to add up, make sweet in the pot. Like, forget it.
Oh, boy. Right? About playing hard
or let's say the buyer says not 500, 400, and the seller's desperate.
Desperate.
Like this is like, you know, the bank's foreclosing tomorrow. Oh. So he gets him to start with the 500, but then with the end, he says, no, it's only going to be 400. So now either the guy say no, could say no, yeah, forget it, we're throwing it away, but the paper is expensive, right? Okay, fine, I'll give in that. There is a certain business pressure as you're going through the document.
100%.
Especially when you, let's say when you even look at these purchase for sale agreements, when for real estate, you keep making lines, you keep rewriting.
Oh, yeah.
They'll never make a new one. You ever notice
they never
make
a new one?
One?
There's lines, lines, lines.
Yes, it's a lot, they say it's a live offer. You know, that was, I have a live offer in my hands, right? You're gonna just let it go like this? Okay, let's make a cross out, we'll add $5,000. So they don't have cross out, we're gonna have cross outs and all this. We just say, let's just keep writing.
Wow.
You got a live offer in your
hand. A live offer.
You want to buy it? It's going to cost you 100 more, Martin.
Oh,
what are you going to do?
I just did this with my condo. Okay.
Okay, so anyway, so that's the extra 100. And that's why if you're going to see two different numbers, we assume that that is what happened.
Ah,
that a switch happened in the middle. And I guess in those days, it wasn't unusual to do that thing. That's the first half of this Rambam. Shtar shekasu milamal amona. Let's say at the top of the star, meaning somewhere in the beginning of the star, they're going to say it for a hundred. Mona means 100. Milamata, but then when you come to the bottom later on, it's Mosaim, it's 200. Or the reverse, doesn't matter. Milamala Mosaim, on the top it's 200. Milamata Mona, and below it's 100. Hakol Halich Echer Atachta. We always go after the last number because that's, as we said, where it gets more serious, that's where we have it.
Right.
Now the famous question is asked, but wait a minute. If you have two contradictory pieces of information, so let's just say, remember, the whole point of the argument is to collect money, right?
Right.
So we'll just go with the lower number and finished. Why don't you just go with the lower number? The answer is because here, because one number has nothing to do with the other number.
Mm.
In other words, it's two contradictory things. It's either one or the other. As opposed to the following situation, where something's written and the two numbers are dependent on each other, and that is the only area of concern, and we're not sure what that number means. Here we have, here's 100, and there's 200. They're five lines apart. One has nothing to do with the other. Then obviously what's happened is the guy has manipulated the situation as we've written further. But let's say in the following situation, let's say he writes, I'm going to sell it to you for mana shema sign, 100, which is 200.
Hmm.
That's all he writes. For 100, which is 200.
Cool.
Okay.
Or
200, that's 100. So now, well, listen, and they signed it. Now they must have meant something. Well, what do we know? Well, is it 200? Well, then we say, okay, we're in doubt.
Now
so
100.
We take the lower number.
Yeah.
Then how you know it's the one? They take 100. Because it's one number. We know this is what they said. This is what they agreed on. We're just not sure what they agreed on.
So
we take the lower number. But if you have one number that's sitting out there all by itself, another number sitting out there by itself, well, you know, one has nothing to do with the other. It's not ambiguous, each number. They're just conflicting. And why are they conflicting? Because most likely there was a change that happened. And that's what he continued. Well, Shnei Dvarim Sheino Achman Tov Rishon, but two things were the second one, something to do with the first one. Halech Acharon, you go after the last one.
Yeah.
Now, that's with numbers. What about names? I now am bequeathing my property to, and I write one name on the top and another name at the bottom. All right, now that's already a whole different story.
Oh, boy.
Hayabo Milamala Shem. Let's say you have a name at the top of the document. Ulamata Shem Karla, a name that is similar to that name. We'll give an example in a minute. Then, Halech Achar HaTachto.
Wow.
We go after the bottom one, and that's the name we go with if they're similar, because again, we always go with the latter, one is more clear. So, Imkein Lama Kosna. So why did you write the top one to begin with? In other words, why did you write it twice? Why write a name twice? Well, the answer is, Shema timachek os achas minatachim. We're afraid maybe, you know, as time passes, maybe one letter just, the ink falls off. And then I might not know who it is. But if I got the top one, it's good to write the name twice, in other words. Once I have two names, you know, I write, here I hereby give to so-and-so this and this. It goes on, this is, and now to reaffirm, I'm giving to so-and-so. You want to write it twice in case a letter, because some words, one letter rubbed out could mean another name. So therefore, we want to make sure nothing's wrong. So let's have an example. Let's say the top of the document says, I'm giving to Hanani. Or, that's a name. Or Anani. That's his name, right? And then we go to the bottom. Now there is a typo in this Rambam. And you're going to see,
whoa.
I don't know if in your English, but in mine and yours, Martin has.
Yeah, yeah.
Now what's written at the bottom? Ubetachtan Hanan or Anan.
Right.
So what's missing? The Yud.
Yeah.
Right? So then what do we know? The Adua Shoshem. Then we know it's the top name. Because the name was Hanani. The bottom one must have fallen off. Because it's the same name. However, this is where the typo is. I don't know what yours says, Sam. But we have Hanan with a Nun Sofis. If it was Hanan with a Nun Sofis, that could not be a rub out.
Thing. They have the same
so really
thing.
You have to write into this Rambam, you have to correct it. You have to put Hanan with a Nun, not a Nun Sofis at the end, and Hanan with a Nun, not a Nun, because if it had a Nun Sofis, it's clearly a different name. So that you can't, resolve the two of them.
Can you go with the second one then? Would
you would probably go with the second one. But that array is a major problem. But so the only way we're saying what we're saying is halacha is all you're missing is the one letter and there's not more missing. So then we know it's the top one. Right. However, wait, let me just finish. But don't learn the bottom one from the top one. Oh, if two letters are missing. Let's say the bottom one is missing two letters. Well, then it could be an altogether different name. We don't assume two letters got rubbed out. And therefore, the shtar is disqualified. Whoa. And the truth of the matter is, it could very well be, if there's two separate names, I'm sorry, that it's going to be disqualified as well. Because now you don't know who it is. Because he wrote two separate names. Now, you don't write two separate names. When you're negotiating, you're negotiating with the same guy. There's a problem with that. So I think the way the Rambam seems to be saying, if you got, Shimon, and on the bottom you got Levi, you got to throw it out. Because you don't know what's going on. But if you got a name that's close, it's missing one letter, okay, I assume it fell out. That's not, but two letters with a similar name in the beginning, that's already, it's too much to assume that way, and therefore we have to disqualify it. Numbers we figure we renegotiate. But what do you call it? But names are not. And we're going to, even though I said we're going all the way, but we're going to stop here. And now I'm going to take your question.